Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Appreciate you guys rolling with us here on this Monday. What do we got for Monday Night Football tonight? Seattle and the Washington football team? That's an interesting one to me. Washington's a 1-point dog? Is that right? Am I looking at that right? Just a 1-point dog? How about that? Some big news today. Christian McCaffrey done for the year due to an ankle injury. Man, that's tough. He is a sensational football player and just cannot seem to stay healthy. So wish him all the best. Man, it does go back to the, remember when he played for Stanford and he didn't play in their bowl game his senior or junior year or whatever year that was? A lot of people gave him crap and he's like, probably worried about injuries. He's had injuries. He plays hard. He has injuries. So turned out to be a good move. Seattle is a 1-point favorite so tonight in that Washington game. So bummer for Christian McCaffrey. Hope him, wish him all the best. Just as we're talking about Michael Porter Jr., how dire is the situation for the Nuggets right now? Feel a lot better if you could see the Joker in and they could win some of the games that they're supposed to win. Going up against Miami tonight, you putting the Joker back in, who's had a wrist injury. Tonight is maybe not the best night to put him back in, or maybe it is because of what happened a couple of weeks ago, of course. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. We need to get to, we're an hour into the show, and we have not hit the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend that was. Let's do that right now. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. You know you're an all things Colorado sports talk show when you don't hit the Broncos to start the show. I'm sorry, I apologize, but big stuff happening throughout Northern Colorado. However, that's my good story. The Broncos beat the Chargers 28-13, and George Payton looks like a king right now because his first ever draft pick as the Broncos GM not only saved the game, he iced this game as well. Patrick Surtain was something special. Broncos get the dub.
Herbert. Oh. Picked off. Surtain up the sideline. Can he get there? Surtain to the end zone for the touchdown.
Gotta love that. I love Patrick Surtain. Let me be very clear. I wanted Justin Fields or Patrick Surtain or Micah Parsons. I said I will be happy as a clam as long as the Broncos draft one of those guys with number 9. And I'm a fan of the cornerbacks. I love great corner play. That's my number one priority if I was building the defense, is give me solid cornerbacks. And that is Patrick Surtain, who just essentially saved the game and iced it within a couple of possessions. The bad is life without Nikola Jokic continues to spiral out of control for the Nuggets. Now losers of 6 in a row. And you need him. You need him back. We don't have anything on that. You need him back. You need him back desperately. When's that happening? I'm not sure. The ugly. Colorado State. Steve Addazio. You name it. All of it wrapped into one. Steve Addazio got ejected from the game on Saturday.
During the media timeout, as sportsmanlike conduct, Colorado State head coach, that 15-yard penalty of being forced in the dead ball spot. That's the head coach, second on sportsmanlike conduct foul of the game. By rule, he is ejected.
Jabe, I'm not sure I've ever seen it before. In all my years, year 25 of covering college football, a head coach ejected with 2 on sportsmanlike calls in the first half, and Steve Addazio's night is done.
I mean, how often do you see a college football coach or a football coach in general get booted from a football game? It's a rare thing. My spidey senses tell me that Addazio said more than he's letting on, but he claims that in the second go-around, when he had the second unsportsmanlike call, that he just said, guys, we got to be better. If that's the case, then that referee needs to be talked to. Something needs to be figured out. That being said, not sure it would have helped. I think it was 28-0 when Addazio gets tossed. Rough outing. If you guys missed my chat with Kevin Lytle, go back and listen to it. It's available at thewholeshow.com and or 1310kfka.com Also caught up with Harrison Wynn to talk about the injury situation for the Denver Nuggets. You know, you get it last week about P.J. Dozier. Porter's been out for 2 weeks, but you get the official this morning that he's out for the season. Third back surgery before he hits the age of 24. Not good. Still waiting on Joker news. And, of course, we're not expecting Murray for a few more months. Where are the Nuggets at this stage? Scary times. However, the Broncos get it done. Did the schedule flexers know what was going on? Did they know that? I mean, there was a part of me deep down, conspiracy mode, was like, Broncos are winning today because they want that Sunday night football game to be amazing. Yes, I know. It's ridiculous. Broncos got it done. Teddy Bridgewater didn't look great. He gets hurt on a play. And Drew Lock comes in. And let me just say this. All right. Let me do it officially. I closed the book on Drew Lock. Now, let me say my final piece on Drew Lock before we move on for these next few games, and then we've turned the page entirely from Drew. I do feel like the guy's pushing. I feel like he views every second he's out there as career saving for him. And so he rolls to the right, tries to thread the needle. He's not that talented to be able to do that. And he throws a pick that almost cost them, well, it almost cost them a lead. It almost cost them the game because you felt like suddenly the momentum had changed in that one. Luckily, a Denver defense came to play yesterday. I was kind of mad at the coaching staff at first for not letting him air it out. I was like, you know, just leave it to Drew Lock being put in for this team to finally commit to the run game. But listen, I've never been a Drew Lock guy. I said last year Drew Lock's not the franchise quarterback. But when the idea was that Teddy Bridgewater would replace him as the franchise quarterback, I said, well, I mean, two negatives in this case, to me, don't make a positive. And Teddy has been average all season long. But I'm ready to move on from Drew. Turn the page. Teddy comes back in the second half. Plays hurt. Does that make up for the not going after the tackle for the fumble? Maybe. His gutsy performance. Didn't look like he was feeling too good out there. And he does find a way in this one to throw a key touchdown. Well, actually, let's play this first. This was the first interception that Patrick Surtain had. The Chargers are driving. They go for it on fourth down. They get it. It's still only 14 to 7 at this point. Chargers could tie it. You're feeling scared here. It's third and long. A bad throw by Justin Herbert, but you know, it doesn't matter. You take them in this league. Patrick Surtain, I thought on this pick, saved the game.
Third and 14 now. Herbert on the move, throwing toward the end zone, intercepted. Picked off in the end zone by Pat Surtain. Fake it. Bridgewater shakes a tackle, throwing, end zone, touchdown. Eric Sauber with the catch.
Hey, perfect. I mean, that sequence was what got the game. You know, you're up 14-7. That's a swing. Look at that. That could be, now who knows? Would they have gone for it on fourth down in that position? Maybe not. Maybe they would have kicked it this time. Because they were in field goal range on that, right? On the Surtain pick. So would they kick a field goal? Who knows? That's a swing, though. You get the pick. You turn it around. You drive down the field. And you get a touchdown that puts you up 21-7. And you're thinking, holy crap. Denver's going to do this thing. They're going to make this thing happen. 21-7. Chargers with 7 or 8 minutes left. They got a chance to try to cut this thing closer. If they can get it within one score, who knows? Crazier things can happen. And we all watched the Broncos and how they damn near coughed it up against Washington late in the game. But Patrick Surtain did it again. And this was off of Austin Eckler's hands. Really not on Herbert as much. Eckler goes for the catch, comes out of his hands. And you can look at it and say, oh, well, the ball's in the air. He just went after it. That's great athleticism to get to it. And you've got a lot of things to pay attention to as a corner. And for you to be able to see, oh, it's bouncing up off the air, off of Eckler, you got a split decision. Because if he catches it, you got to go make the tackle. He didn't catch it. Ball goes up in the air. You're going for the pick six. The game over. Patrick Surtain. Who says that cornerbacks can't win games? He just did. It's great to see, man. And you know who's happy about it is George Payton. Who's just pumped. That not even now, if that would have been in a meaningful game or a meaningless game, it still would have been cool. for George Payton to say, hey, my rookie corner has been awesome. But he does it in a game, perhaps, here we are again, the most important game for the Broncos outside of the Super Bowl. You know, you go back to the Dallas win. That was a big win, right? This win was bigger. This is an AFC West win that puts you in a three-way tie with the Chargers and the Raiders. You're one game away from the Chiefs. You could jump over the Chiefs on Sunday night. I know, tall task. Chiefs are cooking right now. But you have an opportunity now in front of you. So you look at that situation, and Patrick Surtain comes up with very season-type saving interception. Let's not overlook the importance of that first interception. I'm not even talking the pick six. And I know it's not like it was the hardest pick in the world to make, but he made it. I felt like the Chargers had some momentum. And maybe they get a field goal out of that. Maybe they come back on fourth down and go for it and get it. Who knows? But you end all that doubt with that pick. Hell of a job by Patrick Surtain. And can we talk about the draft picks for Denver? I mean, Javonte was taken in the second round, right? George Payton knows what he's doing in the draft. I mean, I got to tell you, man, that this has been a very good draft class for Denver, at least year one. And that's something that Elway struggled with for the longest time. I mean, the top four guys that George Payton drafted are playing. You got Patrick Surtain, who is getting better every game and is now making game-saving plays. You've got Javonte Williams. Is he their best player? Is Javonte Williams their best player right now? Maybe. He was the whole reason Denver stayed afloat when Drew Locke was in. Quinn Meinerz, he's getting playing time. Baron Browning's getting a lot of playing time now. George Payton knows what he's doing, folks. Look out. It's amazing how the rhetoric changes. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is this. After a huge Broncos win yesterday, did Vic Fangio just save his job as head coach? 50% of the Hooligans say no. It's playoffs or bust. 33% say yes, he'll be back next season. 16% say he's done even if the Broncos squeeze in the playoffs. Now, I had one commenter say, or one texter say, this wasn't on Fangio. This was the players. Players stepped up, made big plays. It's hard to disagree with that. I haven't been a Fangio guy. I don't think listen, if Surtain doesn't get that pick, or even the pick six, and let's say the Chargers go down and score, and they're down a touchdown, do you seriously trust Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur to run out the clock, figure out how to end this game? Based on what we saw with Washington, no. I mean, listen, if they can keep rolling and putting things together, then all right. But I wasn't nuts about, again, the play calling. You heard Vic Fangio yesterday. What did he say? Something about, hey, that's the formula, is we got to run the ball. You're just now figuring that out? I mean, as Steve Adazi would tell you, I didn't play football. So, we're not the most sophisticated football fans in the world. But I said all season, check out one of my deep thoughts from A Wandering Mind. The Broncos' key to success is this. Run the ball. I don't care who your quarterback is. Run the ball. Defensively, be elite. Come up with big plays. That's how they beat the Chargers. They ran the ball a lot. 33 times. Still not as much as I'd like to see, to be honest with you. Javonte Williams ran it 14 times. I'm good to give him about 6 more carries. 14 times for 54 yards and a touchdown. Gordon had 17 carries for 83 yards. And then Bridgewater, of course, had the 10 yards and the touchdown. 147 yards on the ground. So that's the formula. And then you hope that you have enough playmakers on defense that can make plays. And I think they have some playmakers. Justin Simmons almost had a pick in this game. So Kenny Young's been really good since they picked him up. Talk about a pickup. See, again, that's George Payton. Are we starting to, like, really love this guy? Because so far, he's hit all the right notes. He has found a way to already have a strong draft class. He loses Von, he trades Von Miller, gets more draft picks. But before that, he trades away really not much at all for Kenny Young. And Kenny Young has been a nice piece in a spot where they were absolutely depleted by injury. So George Payton, not Vic Fangio, not Pat Shurmur necessarily. And I'm not saying they haven't contributed. They're coaches. They're contributing. But Pat Shurmur kept plugging in the tools needed. Yes, Michael.
When I saw that the Broncos were challenging when Vic Fangio challenged,
you.
I was like, oh, no. No, don't challenge that play. Because I knew that was not a fumble from the beginning.
Yes, right. I mean, if the quarterback's giving himself up at the first, I mean, even if the ball was coming loose, they always say he's down once he starts giving himself up, right? Once he goes down.
Yeah.
I mean, again, those are the things I'm talking about. Like, why challenge that play? You know, I know Simmons probably ran over there and said, hey, he fumbled it. But if you were watching, they're never going to give you that. Even if it was, quote unquote, like actually a fumble, they're going to say the quarterback was giving himself up. And once he goes to slide, play is over, right? That's where they call you down. Where when you start your sliding motion, they call you down right there.
So that's what I've always understood.
So anything that happens after that play doesn't count. You don't gain an extra 2 yards. You don't fumble. And yeah, penalties can happen, sure, because if you can get unnecessary roughness. But I Vic Fangio's not the guy. Teddy's not the guy. Can that change if they go to the playoffs? I suppose, but we're going to have to see how they do it. Now, if you're telling me the Broncos win the next, what do they got, 6 games left? They win 4 out of 6? And they win the division even? They get 10, man, they're going to have to win. What's it going to take to win the division, 11 wins? Is it going to take 11 or 10?
I think it's going to take them beating all the other.
Well, they control, they control their own destiny. I mean, they do.
The Raiders, Chargers, Chiefs.
They got the Chiefs twice.
Yeah.
For better or worse, they got the Chiefs twice. It's in their control. I'm going to say it's going to take 11. And again, if Denver beats Kansas City on Sunday night, that 11 wins that I predicted might come true. It's still there. It's still very much there. I'm not sure how we got there, but it's still very much there. If Teddy Bridgewater's the guy and all that, but do you see Teddy coming out suddenly throwing 300 yard games and two to three touchdowns? I just don't see it. It's going to have to be Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, and I think they should re-sign Melvin Gordon. I really do. The more I watch this, you need both those guys. I love the combo, but dedicate yourself to it more. Find the right offensive linemen that work for it. It's going to be hard to fire a coach, though, if you go to the playoffs and you win a round.
Especially with the season that we've had, how banged up the offensive line has been, how banged up the defense has been.
But do you look at that and say George Payton doesn't act like a cocky guy, but deep down does he go, I mean, I gave them every tool they absolutely needed. You would have had to been a crappy coach, a really crappy coach, to drop the ball here. Because you're seeing Kenny Young has been an absolute monster for this team. Patrick Surtain has already been a monster for this team. Guys that George Payton's instantly bringing in have made great impacts on this team. So does George look at that and say, yeah, we made it to the playoffs with Vic, but you give me a young Carson Strong, whatever, quarterback, and then give me a young head coach we can build together, and I'm going to bring you a Super Bowl here in 2 to 3 years.
I think if the Broncos don't either go to the playoffs or come really close to the playoffs, it's going to be tough to get rid of Fangio.
I agree with some of the voters. He is not coming back if you don't make the playoffs. I feel that way.
They're showing improvement, but the question is the improvement.
But why did it take so long to run the damn ball? Why did it take so long to run the damn? I thought the whole quarterback decision was a fiasco. Whether you agreed with Drew or Teddy to be the guy, it was a joke. Teddy was going to be the guy from day one. Maybe that was George Payton's plan, was to tell them to do that. I don't know. But that was a joke. The way Vic handled it was a joke. his play calling, his decision making, his timeout decision making, his challenge decision making is a joke. There's a lot of great things about him, though. Defensively, you still, when he's on, he's on. When the defense isn't rolling, though, he's not a good coach. When the defense makes him look great, yeah, you can come back and say, okay, he's pretty good. But I just don't feel it. So that's the poll question. After a huge win. This was the biggest win. The Broncos haven't had meaningful games in December. I think they've had like one or two meaning, like when they were 9-7 with Kubiak, but Vance Joseph had one meaningful game in December and they won it and they went 6-6 and then they dropped the next four. Outside of that, there's been no meaningful football in December for Denver. So that's something. But I'm curious to get your thoughts. Go to thewholeshow.com. After a huge Broncos win yesterday, did Vic Fangio just save his job as head coach? 26 minutes after the hour. No Limit Collectibles. They just moved over to, they're right next to our friends over at Cables. Check them out. If you're here in Greeley, you know where Cables is. There's a bowling alley across the street. No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. Get that Nikola Jokic jersey framed. Put it in the man cave. Or a Patrick Sertan rookie card. You might want to hang on to that. Or I'm seeing already Trey McBride CSU cards. I don't know if they're, but that's the thing. My guy Ken will get them if they don't have them. He has connections. He'll get anything you need. That's No Limit Collectibles. 27 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, what do we got? More on this Broncos team. How about the AFC West, the way it's shaping up, the playoff picture? Where are the Broncos in it? We'll get to all that and more. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the sound.
Two minutes after the hour, welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Boy, Saturday afternoon, I had a chance with my good friend Steve Ivey, new to the show. We had Steve Ivey, the Swole Cracker. Love this guy. He is a basketball diehard fan of the Colorado State Rams. He's overall a basketball guy. He invited me to sit with him. Great seats. On Saturday at Moby Arena. And I got to tell you, as a media guy, I much rather would go to the games as a fan than to sit in the press box or whatever. And I'm not taking anything away from the guys that do. But I can get my takes from watching it in the stands just as easily, if not more so, than I would watching it in the press box. This game, thanks again to Steve for the hookup, was a blast. UNC Bears. Going all the way up to Fort Collins to take on the CSU Rams. And let me just say this. This game has to happen every year. And apparently it is. Next year at CSU and the year after that is home against UNC. So next 2 years. Let's build this rivalry. Now the Bears lose 88-79. But UNC was up by one with 4 minutes left. And that game, of course, was right here on 103.1, 1310 KFK and 1310KFK.com. They were in this game. A big reason, thanks to none other than Bodie Hume, who had 9 3-pointers. Here's the wonderful, the legendary Jerry Schimmel on the call from Saturday.
Looking now for connect. Instead, driving right, Johnson got to the right wing. Picks it back out to Hume. It's a three. It's good again.
9 of 14. 9 of 14 from three-point line. This team shot a lot of threes. They were 18 of 37, shot 48.6%. Dalen Kuntz was hot as well. He was 4 for 7. Matt Johnson had one. And then Cookshausen, he got rolling. He was 4 for 8. He shot 50% from the three-point line. What did we learn? I'm putting together a deep thoughts from a wandering mind. I'll have that out tomorrow for you. But just kind of my thoughts from that game. Because I thought it was a big game, an important game. It was an important game for CSU. CSU 7-0, and they've had some comebacks. They've had another situation where they needed to come back. They were down 41-38 at the half, but UNC improved upon that lead, got back up to, what was it, 13 at one point? It's like 10 plus, And CSU comes all the way back. They ended up outscoring the Bears 50-38. And I got to tell you, it's weird for me to go as a fan because I wore black. I wear black a lot anyway, but I wanted to stay neutral. That was a big deal to me. Like, I love both of these teams. We are the voice of the Bears. I have a great relationship with CSU. So it was fun for me to watch, not really cheering for anyone.
You know, if you really wanted to go neutral, you could have worn orange and navy blue.
Well, I thought about wearing, I have a CSU hat and a UNC shirt. I thought about doing that.
But some people do that if they have, like, kids going to both schools.
Yeah, I decided not to do that. I wanted to be in the shadows.
Or wear a Broncos shirt.
But it was really cool. I got a chance at the end of the game to talk to both real quick, but Nico Medved and, of course, Steve Smiley. I got to say this. I love the coaching staffs for these teams. I mean, Nico Medved, you got Ali Farokmanesh, Sam Jones, Steve Smiley on his side, Coach Houston Reed, Dorian Green. I mean, I love this coaching staff. I really do. And it's cool to see how they go. Corey Farringer. Oh, Corey's a great guy. I stood and talked to him for a while. You know what I love about these guys, the basketball, is they'll sit and talk to you. I mean, they'll sit and open up. Not in the press box room. Not in the press room. They sit and open up courtside. I hung out and just really like the coaching staffs on both sides. So what's that mean going forward? Should you be concerned that CSU had a hard time against UNC? I say no for this reason. UNC, when they're shooting like that, they can beat a hell of a lot of teams. That's also a scary thing for UNC. Bodie Hume has to produce close to that. I don't need 30 from him every night. But play like that. It was kind of interesting. I was talking to Coach Farringer. And I said, man, if he can play like that, and he looks at me and goes, or no, I said, if he can score like that, and Coach Farringer looks at me and goes, not just score like that. No, just play like that. I don't need to see the 30. I don't need to see the 9 3-pointers. Just play like that. Have that confidence. Have that, you know, that absolute killer instinct to pull the trigger. Here's what you should be concerned with if you're a CSU fan, though, is why in the hell did you keep losing Bodie Hume? How'd you keep losing him? How do you lose a three-point shooter like that? I'll tell you how you did. Dalen Kuntz and Matt Johnson. Those guards are so damn quick. CSU was having a hard time staying out in front of them. So what they did was the old penetrate and pitch. They penetrate. They suck in two defenders. Pop it out. There's going to be a three-point shooter open. And that's the cool thing about it. They can all shoot the three. Dalton Connect didn't make one, but he went 0 for 5. Or he shot it. That's what I meant to say. He shot it. He's going to make them eventually. He was 0 for 5 in this one, though. And let me just say this. This is Susan and Cheryl, you guys will appreciate this. Cor Joe Cooch. This guy is an absolute stud. Yes, thank you. I know Mondays are hard. But I love David Roddy. We're gonna be having the David Roddy show on Wednesday. He was held to 12 points, 10 boards. The guy still found a way to get it done, but Cor kind of contained him in the first half. I looked over at Houston Reed at one point, give Cor a big old bear hug. That's fun, because Cor is such a good kid. I had a chance to shake his hand at the end of the game, too. I said, dude, I mean, that's David friggin' Roddy. This team, CSU is going to be I'm just going to say it, I think they're going to be a Sweet 16 team. I really do. I believe that. And the Bears almost beat them. So what's that say about the Bears? The Bears could be a March Madness team. Tough part for them is it all comes down to one freaking game, right? They have to win the tournament. CSU can get the. I'm not saying it's easier, but you're in a Mountain West Conference. You're going to get a large bid or two. UNC doesn't get that, and the Mountain West is tough. And they got their home slate starting up. They got a home. Their conference play is starting up this weekend. We're going to try to get Dorian Green on the show. He's a former Ram, and he's an assistant for UNC. So very interesting time for him. 39 minutes after the hour. Don't miss it though. The Bears do play Montana State on Thursday at home, and also Montana on Saturday at home. Conference play is kind of scattered because then they'll switch it up and play some Pac-12 teams in mid-December, then back at it against Big Sky teams in January. So they'll have a couple of Big Sky games coming up. I don't like that as much. Get your non-conference schedule done and then go all conference. 39 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Thanks to Rev Chiropractic for being a part of the show. Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada. They've helped me out a lot throughout the last year. Started going there in January. Back's feeling fantastic. I was supposed to go there today, but I rescheduled. I used the schedule app. Couldn't make it this morning. I'm slammed. I'm busier than hell. And I'm thinking, man, I can't drive over there today, but I'm going to reschedule, and I'm going to go in tomorrow. So it's an easy schedule. Didn't even have to call. I just did it on my phone. That's what's another great thing about Rev Chiropractic. You know, if you can't, something comes up because life gets in the way, hey, reschedule it. They'll figure it out. That's Rev Chiropractic. I know you're skeptical about, some of you are skeptical about chiropractic care. It's so much different than the cracking and stuffiness of a medical type office. It's way different atmosphere. And I mean, there's not a lot of pain, at least what I've experienced with it too. Michael, you've had a history of back issues for quite some time, and you've been going a little while now.
I've found out that I have a lot of issues, actually. It's from years of being irresponsible. I very much appreciate what they have done for me, and I have many times had to postpone appointments, and I don't know how to use the phone thing. So they have kindly been patient with me and have allowed me to call them.
They're patient.
Press the phone buttons.
They're patient with their patients.
Yes.
That's Rev Chiropractic. They're in Greeley. They're off of Highway 34 and 35th Avenue. There's a Home Depot in that same shopping center. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is up. Did Vic Fangio save his job as a head coach? And I just tweeted this out, too. If you guys want to follow me on Twitter, join the party at Whole Show. And I just said, hey, this 6-5 record says a lot more about George Payton than it does Vic Fangio or Pat Shurmur. I mean, I think the Kenny Young move, the Patrick Surtain draft, the Javonte Williams draft, those three moves right there might be the difference between six wins and three wins. Seriously. I mean, I'm just being honest. Javonte Williams has been the most consistent offensive player for Denver. Disagree with me. I mean, George Payton's guys, so far, and Teddy, I mean, he brought Teddy in. So if you guys love Teddy, you got Teddy, you got Javonte. So far, the guys that he has brought in have been huge contributors. So that's where I think maybe playoffs or no, Vic Fangio might be in trouble. But then again, you go on a major run here, and you never know. 47 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll get to what's on tonight, as well as I'll let you know my game of the week coming up next. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.
Bears basketball and the voice of the Bears. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kristen McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
The time. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. I'm pretty excited because Sunday night football, Michael, my game of the week. We got the Denver Broncos going to the Kansas City Chiefs. We flexed the schedule. It is absolutely a monster football game in the AFC West, and can't wait. So that's my game of the week. Read the write-up at thewholeshow.com. Joey B, the real AD, we need a review of the Swole Cracker Brady Hull experience at Moby from this past weekend. Dude, he is awesome. He gets after it, though. Like, he's ripping into refs. He's chewing them out. Like, that's why we would like him to be on the show. He's going to be on Friday every week now. And he's just a basketball diehard. And he's got a unique perspective, and I like unique perspectives. And he knows his stuff. Also, who has bigger arms, Brady Hull or David Roddy? Oh.
If you want to throw down in fisticuffs, fine. I've got Jack Johnson and Tom O'Leary waiting for you right here.
I'm going to give David Roddy the nod there by far. Also, back. He's got a way bigger back than me. I mean, I'm just like when he's sitting there waiting to get the starting lineup going in and all that stuff, man. He's monster back, dude. The dude is, he is, he's a tough guy. He is a tough dude. Found a way to get it done for Colorado State on Saturday. That was a fun game, by the way. All right, what's on tonight? We got Monday Night Football. Seattle and the Washington football team. The Seahawks are 1-point favorites. Is that a trap? Do we take that? I want to take that. I think Seattle wins that game, and they definitely do it by more than one. You also have the Nuggets at Miami tonight. Joker going to play? Harrison Wynn kind of sounded like this would be the game that they pull him out, or that they keep him out. Excuse me. He's been out. I'm not quite sure. That's at 5:30 tonight. It'll also be on NBA TV as well as, I think, Altitude. Denver's 9-10. Got to stop the bleeding at some point. Will it be tonight against a team that, no doubt about it, really wants to beat the hell out of the Denver Nuggets? And terrible news about Michael Porter Jr. out for the season, having a third back surgery before he hits the age of 24. Rough one there. Thanks to Kevin Lytle for joining us to talk all things Steve Addazio and that apparent train wreck, as well as Harrison Wynn on all things Nuggets. That's going to do it for us. If you miss any portion of the show, go to thewholeshow.com, find podcasts, or 1310kfka.com. Good night, Northern Colorado.